Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's a WIP afternoon show. Ike Reese, I'm Spike Eskin. Fritz is off. We are at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. Baseball is better at Chickies and Pete's. Pre-game, in-game, or a post-game feast. Find a location near you online at chickiesandpetes.com. So, as is tradition, Nick Sirianni and Howie Roseman spoke after the draft last night about the pick, about A.J. Brown, so on and so forth. Here's what Howie had to say about why he decided to pick Quinyon Mitchell with the 22nd pick.
In this case, we think we have an extremely talented, hardworking outside corner. So he's got all the tools in his body, the right mentality. We felt like we had really good information. Coach did an unbelievable job because of his connections at Toledo, really kind of relaying those thoughts and, you know, us having the same conversations with the coaches. He really had a great process. And when you think about kind of his, he had a chance to transfer out of Toledo last year. He stayed there. He came back. He got better. He went to the Senior Bowl. He really checked the whole offseason process boxes one by one off.
Now, of course, they had more information on him that you would typically have because of Nick Sirianni's relationship with the head coach of Toledo. I don't know how much Sirianni has to do with the picks themselves, but him being involved in this one, I think it's not only is it good to get more intel on the guy, but I think it's a good sign for Sirianni because I think on some level, what he told them was taken to be valuable, you know, the intel that he ended up getting.
Yeah, and probably when you have guys that may be ranked or rated so close, as Terrion Arnold was also rumored to be one of the guys that was right there in the mix, you're looking for different things that would separate the two. And so having that extra intel on the character of Quinyon Mitchell, maybe that's what gave him the edge for the Eagles. Now, this backfired against us with the Rager pick.
Oh, right.
Remember? Because they knew they knew Monte Rager, who played here. And so that was it's sometimes it can backfire against you. Just because it makes you a little more comfortable taking a guy, it doesn't necessarily always work. But I still love the fact that they had the extra information to help them make that decision.
Yeah, sometimes more information, if you have less information on another guy, you could end up taking that more information too seriously.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It can end up being too impactful.
Yep.
215-592-9494. Do you like the Eagles pick at 22 as well? Do you believe that Embiid can lead the Sixers back, that he's a different player now? Brahim, you're on WIP.
Yo, what up, Spike? What up, Ike?
What up, bro?
Hey, what's good? I just want to say this. I think basketball fans in general have gotten way soft. And I just want to say this, y'all. I'm 48 years old. My first introduction to the Sixers was when I was 7 years old. My pop took me to meet the entire championship team. I've been a fan ever since. I've been going to the Spectrum back then, played on the Spectrum floor. And I come from the era of 80s and 90s basketball, and I feel like the first two games, we got pushed around, out-muscled, out-classed. So everybody talking about Embiid, it was a dirty play. Nah, you know what? Somebody needed to do something. I wanted somebody to come off the bench and punch somebody in the mouth. Like, we can't keep getting pushed around. And if that's what it needed to be done, then that's what needed to be done. But somebody had to do something. You know what I'm saying? And so, for me, the Sixers is much more like it when I try to talk to your dad, Spike, because I feel like he roots against us. But my thing is, the Sixers is way more than Josh Harris, them trying to put a stadium downtown. It's me and my dad, and I root for the laundry. And yeah. I like them Villanova boys, but they wearing the wrong laundry right now. So you know what? They got to catch all of this. They want to be muscle. They want to jump in everybody's face. They want to push everybody. They want to rob us out of a game. Nah, somebody going to catch something. So you know what? I love Joel Embiid, yo. I love Joel Embiid. And I'm so happy for him that he was able to come through. Like, I always knew he could come through. And he's battling through a lot of stuff right now. So I got nothing but respect, and I love him. As far as the pick goes, dude, I wanted a corner the whole time. And I think Howie did a bang-up job. We didn't have to use no assets. And he went ahead and did his thing, and now we can go ahead and still address things in the second round. You know what I mean? So I just want to say this, y'all. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Sixers. Let's go.
I love it. Thanks, Raheem.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, he was talking about basketball fans being soft or whatever. Look, I think the reaction to all this is a little bit too much, you know, the reaction to what Embiid did. And I also thought the reaction to the ref screw-up the other night was too much.
Yeah.
But as far as people being soft, look, the Sixers don't have to play this way, and Embiid doesn't have to do that. This is the way the Knicks play.
Yep.
The Knicks grab, push, pull. You know, Dante DiVincenzo knocked Embiid over earlier this season. You know, could have hurt him then. They set the tone. I give them credit. They muscled the Sixers the first two games. They set the tone. So if this is how we're going to play, and I think the refs even said it to an extent last night by not calling everything and sort of and letting Embiid stay in the game. If this is the game that they're going to want to play, it's the game the Sixers are going to have to play. And I was encouraged that Embiid took it upon himself to say, okay, we're going to do this too now.
And listen, he had to be the one. We don't have Jimmy Butler here. We don't have, one guy we had here, Mike, who was our tough guy. He was fighting with the fans in the parking lot.
Oh, Mike Scott.
Mike Scott. Yeah,
don't have PJ Tucker.
Yeah, or PJ Tucker. Yeah, even better. No PJ Tucker here. So somebody had to be the heavy in this situation, and it was Joel Embiid. I mean, Tobias is soft as cotton. You know he wasn't going to do it. Oubre, you don't know. Sometimes he reminds me of a space cadet. You don't know where he's at mentally at times. And I almost don't even want him doing anything because he may go over the board with his aggressiveness. And other than Kyle Lowry, I don't know who else could have done it. So it really had to be Joel Embiid.
It's certainly not going to be Maxey.
Nah,
God bless
him. It's not going to be Maxey. No.
It's not going to be Maxey.
No.
So after the Eagles made
it. And it seemed like the players appreciated it.
Absolutely.
His teammates, they fed off of it.
We'll play the sound later, but Maxey specifically said that Embiid set the tone for the game and let the players know that they were not going. This is not going to happen here.
And not in our house, yeah.
Not here, not in our house, not this game.
Yep.
Absolutely. So, you know, you weren't the only one that was positive on the pick. The folks over at ESPN were real positive on the Quinion Mitchell pick as well.
Yeah, you're getting somebody that can set the tone for your defense, somebody that's going to show up and do things the right way. And we talk about at a small school, has he gone against the big-time talent? Has he been across the line of scrimmage from a Marvin Harrison Jr., from some of the other players? He showed that in the game against Ohio State, and he showed that at the Senior Bowl when he went down there and went against every receiver from a Power 5 school. It didn't matter. One-on-one drills, he put on the show. I was watching it on the television, and you're like, man, this kid is jumping off the screen. It didn't matter. Winning every route, the ability to mirror, to play man, the man turn, the zone turn, he can do it all. And when you start the process, you got to finish it off. He went to the combine and finished it off running 4.33. So someone who did things the right way, and it just shows everybody out there, it doesn't matter what school you go to. If you perform and you do things the right way and you follow the process and you follow every step, you too can be a first-round pick.
You know, the thing I like that he said about it and has been said many times, and you even mentioned it as well, is given what happened on the team last year, the fact that everyone is saying this is a loyal guy, a culture guy, a team guy, a guy that worked to get where he is, I think it's good for the locker room to add a guy like that.
Yes.
I'm all for talent, absolutely. But secondary to talent, as far as what kind of a teammate
is he going to fit in this locker room?
Absolutely. Yes. And they need he needs to be part – people need to be part of even establishing what that means to fit into this locker room because I think part of that fell apart last year. You know, the biggest leaders were in year 15, 16 or whatever, and that doesn't have the same effect on a 23-year-old player that a guy in his prime leading the team is going to be, I think.
I agree. And there's something to having – your when you take a guy in the first round, this is a franchise building block. So you want to have a guy that's going to be a culture setter, that's going to be an example for guys that come behind him. He's getting the opportunity to learn from some veterans in his first year. I love his answer last night when asked, did he expect to come in and start or play or this and that and the other? He gave you the answer he should have given you, which is, whatever they need me to do, I can play inside, I can play outside. I got some great veterans in front of me. He named both Slay and Bradberry and said, wherever the team needs me to play, I'll be willing to play. But I'm just looking forward to coming in and competing, but also learning from those two veterans that are in front of me.
Absolutely. I thought it was interesting, too. We had talked with
Ross. When in reality, it should only be one of those veterans here by the time the season starts.
But it'll be. It's not going to just be one of those.
If we're lucky.
Yeah. I wonder which veteran you don't think should be here.
If we're lucky, it will just be one.
I wonder which one.
I'm just saying.
We had talked with Ross, and we talked when we had actually with Baldy, and as we had done YouTube Big Board, which of course I do with a wink and a nod the entire time. But it seems like everybody's big boards were blown up to pieces last night, just about where everyone was ranked. I mean, not just within the draft itself, but within position.
Sure.
You know, the amount of sliding and moving around. I am sure that every team's big board looks completely different than any other team's big board. I would imagine that there is more variation in there than we see in mock drafts and big boards publicly.
Yeah, and then you also got to look at it, even when they put their big board together, even though teams will tell you, we're not drafting for needs, we're going to take the best player available, that's really not what happens. They are prioritized based on where holes need to be filled.
Well, you're not taking the best player available if you've got, like, the Packers, let's say. The Packers are not taking the best player available if it's a quarterback.
Right.
Of course not. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
It's not true. It's not always true. 215-592-9494. Hassan in Strawberry Mansion, you're on WIP.
Good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon.
What's up, Hassan?
First off, Spike, long time no speak to.
What's up, man? Good to hear from you.
I totally agree with your initial take on Howie when you started the show, with everything you said about it being a different year and all of that. I love the pick. Absolutely love it. And Nick Saban sealed the deal for me with his comment. For sure. Any doubt I might have had, because I know for years I've been crying about get me a player from one of these schools that I watch on Saturday every weekend. and Joe, he went and saw the Wizard and came back with some heart. I've been waiting for that Joe since forever. I've got a shirt that says Bully Ball that I won from you guys from doing some contest, who knows. And the shirt irritates me on the back because it says Bully Ball, and it was never a bully on that team. Like any of that. But they looked like the bullies last night. Even Chencho tried to start it, and Joe finished it.
They all followed him.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's so important, and thank you for the call, Hassan. It's so important. It's good to have guys like PJ Tucker, leaders that are not the best player on the team, but really, at the end of the day, your best players on the team have to lead the other players on the team.
See, I was the PJ Tucker on the team.
Yeah. Which is important to have those guys.
Yes.
But that can't be the only
guy. You still need it. Brian Dawkins or Jeremiah Trotter to actually do the real leading.
100%. You need both,
yes,
right?
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Tom Brady looked off. Hey, Ike Reese in the middle of the field.
Hey, hey, hey.
No, Jack, but you're still getting exactly. hit from the studio. Now, he mentioned, a couple of people have mentioned what Nick Saban had to say about Quinyon Mitchell, and I thought that was really, really interesting. Here's what he had to say.
Well, you know, he was our number one guy in the portal last year to try to get to come out of the portal.
Yeah.
And he had never get in the portal, so it was...
right.
But, you know, this guy is a really good player. He's got everything. He tackles decently. He can play man-to-man. He plays the ball in the deep part of the field. I wasn't sold on this guy because the MAC doesn't have great speed. It's not a speed league, so I'm worried about level of comp when I'm watching him. But at the Senior Bowl, this guy guarded him better than anybody.
Yeah. Right.
He really did.
That's where his stock went to.
I think that's where his stock went up. And, yeah. I think they're getting a really good player.
So it's really telling hearing Saban say that he was their number one guy in the portal, because if he had gone into the portal, because if Saban wants him, that means that you could make the assumption that Saban thinks that he could play over one of the guys he already has, and those are guys that we are talking about who are, you know, first round, second round type of talent. So if he has Mitchell up there, I think that means a lot.
And I'll tell you, knowing Coach, that is his position. That's the position he takes most pride in evaluating, scouting, developing, and everything else. I think he's a former DB himself when he played in college, so he loves the cornerback position. So when he gives you the stamp of approval, that's pretty big. It doesn't mean he's always right with his corners, but I'm just telling you, that's a position that he takes pride in as far as evaluating and knowing good players when he sees one.
Yeah, and, you know, I think it speaks to directly the concerns about him as a player who didn't play in a major football conference. If Saban thinks he can play in that conference, now, he might be right, he might be wrong, but I will take his evaluation over no evaluation. If he's saying, I think he can play in the SEC, I think that says something good about Mitchell.
And they wanted to see him at the Senior Bowl.
Right.
They wanted to see what he looked like against some of the other top receivers around the country and everything else, and he came out of that Senior Bowl ranked as the number one corner, even if it was just slightly ahead of Terrion Arnold. He still came out, and it says even more because he didn't play at Alabama or Oklahoma or LSU or somewhere. So for him to come out and people view him as the top corner in college football or in this draft, that says a lot about his skill set.
215-592-9494 if you want to talk about the pick, if you want to talk about Embiid. Bruce in D.C., you are on WIP. What's up, Bruce?
Yes, good morning. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Good afternoon, man. I am just super fired up about this pick with the DB. I have been one of those people that has been, at least my perspective is, you know, get the DB because this is something that's an area of need. And despite all the talk about O-linemen and all these other, it just didn't make no sense to go on the offense that side first. So, hey, I'm singing praises, and I'm thinking, you know, maybe in the second round that we could shift back to maybe getting an offensive lineman. But I would like to prefer to get a linebacker because what's happened with this draft is there's some really good linebackers that have fallen into the second round. So I think that the Eagles can take advantage of it. They may have to even move up a little bit, but they shouldn't have to spend a whole lot to go that route. But I think we're in prime position to do that, and then we can get another O lineman or a defensive lineman. We got the pick of the litter. I think things are looking great for us.
Appreciate the call, Bruce.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I didn't go back and look at previous drafts, but I can't imagine there was another draft when there wasn't a defensive player taken in the draft until the 15th pick, and I don't know. You could say Howie, all this offseason, felt like it was going to be a draft like that, felt like he could capitalize on it, you know, because they needed defensive players.
Mm-hmm.
I, It really says a lot about where the league is, though, that quarterbacks that did not have high grades, we didn't think, or had lower grades than top 10, top 15 picks ended up going high. And the fact that a defensive player doesn't get picked until the middle of the first round is just crazy. It says a lot where about where the NFL is right now, I think.
Yeah, I guess you can come away thinking that. I kind of just look at it like it was a weird draft this year. The teams up near the top half of the draft just didn't have a need for a defensive player. Maybe an offensive lineman was something they needed more desperately. Quarterbacks or something they needed more desperately. Because here's a clear example of that. Denver. Clearly, Denver took a quarterback out of desperation because they didn't want to. They don't have a second-round pick, so they decided to get their quarterback, even though he may not have been the 12th best player in the draft. But it was a position of need for them to fill.
It was, you know, speaking of picking quarterbacks, the Falcons taking Penix after
a little surprise
after
there.
Cousins. But you know, you look at it. I don't know. Maybe it gives the guy a chance to blossom and grow rather than getting thrown into the fire right away. You know?
I agree. Last night, I my head almost popped off my shoulders when this pick was coming up. And they, Elliott and Hugh, were saying that it could be a quarterback. And I'm like, what the hell? Why would Atlanta take a quarterback? And they just signed Kirk Cousins for $180 million. So I slept on it. I got it today, and I'm looking at some of the shows, and everybody's having the initial knee-jerk reaction of what the hell are the Falcons doing? And you had a few people come on and try to rationalize what they may be thinking. And it sort of makes sense. If he can sit for 2 years, let's say he sits for 2 years. He sits for 2 years, they still have the fifth-year option to pick up on him. So they still have 3 years of his service on a rookie contract without having to give him a new deal. They can move on from Kirk Cousins. It's money. The Eagles already proved that it doesn't matter if you sign a guy and give him a big signing bonus. You got to take a cap hit. You just got to take a cap hit. And so if the Falcons got to take a $40 million cap hit, what do they care? They have their quarterback of the future.
Well, and how many years did Jordan Love sit in Green Bay? Was it
two?
Just 2 years, you know? And that's how it used to be.
Yeah.
All the time in
Aaron
the NFL.
Aaron Rodgers sat 2 years.
You're right.
Steve
Young sat 7 years. Well, especially when quarterbacks, you know, they age differently than
sure.
the other positions do.
Totally
especially
agree.
Now. They can play into their 40s.
Yep.
You know, you're not past your prime at 35, 36 years old if
and
you're a quarterback.
And he's not a running quarterback.
Right.
He's a pocket quarterback.
Right.
So he has even a greater chance to have a long career versus somebody who puts himself in danger as a runner or somebody that you're worried about losing athleticism as he gets older. So after I thought about it, I'm like, you know what? I guess it's not as bad of a pick as it seemed initially. And I love Penix Jr.
Yeah.
I think he has a chance to be the best quarterback in the draft. Certainly no worse than the second or third best quarterback in the draft.
215-592-9494. PC in Jersey does not like the pick. Why not?
So look, it's not like I hate the pick. Nice to talk to you guys.
You as well.
It's just that, look, I think this is the time of year when, as soon as the pick comes out, everybody's just all pro-positive, positive everything, putting the most positive spin on it. So think about the transfer portal thing, right? So he transferred, he didn't transfer, he's so loyal, oh no, like Alabama really wanted him. One way to think about it is what you guys have been talking about in some of the callers, but the other way to think about it is, you know, he saw the depth chart, he didn't think he could hack it there, he didn't think he could earn playing time there. And so he'd rather be a big fish in a small pond, right? And, you know, it's a little unfair to the guy, and I don't 100% believe this, but this is the exact same setup as the Rager thing, right? Where Rager versus Justin Jefferson, small school, big school, hey, this guy looks great on tape, versus the guy with the pedigree. So I just want to pump the brakes on it a little bit, because this is the time when the optimism gets a little bit, the train leaves the station a little too quickly.
Now, hey, listen, PC, there's a lot of truth in what you're saying. There is a lot of truth in what he's saying, that we want to feel optimistic about the pick, so we sort of talk ourselves into the pick, even though there wasn't a bunch of people yelling that's who they wanted, Kenyon Mitchell. Most of us want to go with the guy that we're more familiar with, which are the Alabama guys. So I totally get what you're saying, PC. That's why my initial reaction last night was, I like the position, love the position. They addressed it. I like him as a player, but they had better be right because he's going to be judged against Terrion Arnold pretty much until it's proven we took the right guy.
Well, and the truth is, with all this stuff, there's confirmation bias with all this stuff. If you go back to the Embiid thing, if you don't like Embiid, your position on what he did last night could be he lost control of his emotions, should have been thrown out, got lucky that he hit a bunch of threes in the third quarter. In fact, I know somebody in my family who may say those exact things. So I agree with what you're saying, PC. I think, but this is, I know you're saying that optimism sort of, you know.
It doesn't mean it's wrong because we feel good about it.
I guess we'll just see with all of that. I could see what you're saying just as easily as I could see the other way. I think, though, at the draft, we all want to be positive. I mean, this is the time that it feels good to feel good, if that makes any sense. And if he stinks, we'll find out soon enough.
Believe me, it will turn.
Yeah. Appreciate the call, PC. Our Twitter poll of the day is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. It's engagement season. Shop the home team at Mark's Jewelers with diamond engagement rings for every budget online at marks-jewelers.com. The question, after last night, has Joel Embiid regained your trust? Yes or no? What do you think the vote is?
Yes.
Yes.
After a 50-piece?
Yeah. 68% yes. 68% yes. 32%. There's still doubt.
If you had asked me, I'd have said 70. Yeah. I'd have said 75. Yeah.
People are dug in. People are dug in on both sides of this. You know. Yeah. And as you were saying, I do think if he finishes off the Knicks, I think we do the same poll after he finishes off the Knicks, and I think it's 92% yes, something like that. So coming up next, Ike mentioned Eagles Insider of the Year candidate Elliot Shore Parks earlier. He did have a really well-known former NFL great receiver question his football credentials.
Really?
On the internet last night.
I missed that.
So we will talk to Elliot, and we will ask his feedback, and we will play you that audio next.
I'll tell you, that boy Elliot, there's no limit to his reach.
Gets into something every time. 215-592-9494. We'll do that next on the afternoon show at 94 WIP, live from Chickies in South Philly.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.